Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 9 through to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Let's pray. Thank you, Mark. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can open your word and we can read these amazing words. We pray that this morning our hearts and minds will be open to your Spirit and his ministry in us, his work, to open our eyes to the truth of who Jesus is. Lord, bless this time and help, and grant, Lord, that we may go from here with a real sense that you've spoken to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't realized, we're streaming probably the first. We did try it on a trial basis a couple of weeks ago, but it's streaming. And guess what? I've just seen on that Riley in Melbourne, Australia is watching us. Hi, Riley. And also John Croder, who's still unwell and not able to be here. He's watching us. So there you go. Modern. We only really did it to get a signal into the nursery so that they could watch it there. But you might as well put it up online and everyone can see it. Anyway. So next Sunday, if you don't turn up, and it's all empty because you're all standing sitting at home watching it there, I'll understand. But please don't do that. I've decided that these friends and family services that we will hold once a month, which are special focus on trying to reach out to young families, that I will actually break from my normal sermon series and I will look at John's Gospel and some highlights through the Gospel of John. And we're starting this morning with the first few verses in John chapter 1, which to many people might seem quite abstruse and difficult to understand, and that's understandable, but we will look at it anyway because there's some very amazing truths in there. You see, right down through church history, people have wrestled with the question of who is Jesus? And one of the problems is that you can't dispute that he's a good man, or he was, and an influential figure, powerful, remarkable man who changed the course of history, even a prophet or a great religious leader. But when people come to the problems that they face, the stumbling blocks, if you like, that they stumble over, like the virgin birth, that Jesus didn't have an earthly father, that in the womb of Mary, God performed a miracle whereby 9 months later, Jesus was born the Son of God. That they stumble over that, and over the miracles. They read that Jesus took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and they all had so much to eat, they were filled, and then the next day they had 12 baskets of fragments left over, showing that it wasn't some illusion, but the next day, hey, this was real. This really happened. And they saw the dead raised and the blind could see and all the miracles that Jesus did. And people stumble over that. How can that be? Surely in our modern scientific age you can't believe that. And then you come to the amazing miracle of Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his living forever, not just to rise and die again, but raised to new life and new resurrection, eternal existence. And so people stumble over that, and I can understand that. But you see, the primary staggering truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is much bigger than that. And it's what's in the first verse of this book. There were four men who were moved by God to write down the record of Jesus' life. John was one of them. And John, when he sat down to write this, moved by the Holy Spirit, he, who was the closest to Jesus of all the disciples, and now in his elderly years, he was an old man when he wrote this down. And he said, right, I'm going to clear it up, because there was a lot of controversy back in that time as well. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? So as he sat down, he started not with his birth, like Matthew and Mark and Luke. It didn't start with Jesus being born in Bethlehem. He goes back to prior to existence of anything other than God. In the beginning, right back at the beginning, was the Word. And if, in case we are not sure whether that word is talking about Jesus or not, when you come to chapter verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he's talking about the Word. And only in the first 14 verses after that, he doesn't use the word or logos again. So why did he do that? Well, because once you understand who Jesus is, then the miracles are not a stumbling block, they actually become a stepping stone to faith. And his virgin birth is, it has to be, if he's truly God who became a man. And his resurrection, likewise. So the very things that become stumbling blocks, once you grasp who Jesus is, become supportive of faith in who he is. And in fact, if God became a man and lived among us and he didn't do miracles and he didn't have a virgin birth and he didn't raise from the dead, then you would question that. So, oh yeah, anyone can tell a story like that. So John talks about Jesus as the Word. Ruth Ann, you don't know I'm going to do this, but I'm going to ask you to come up here. Yes, John wants to see you.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2. There you go.
Now, Ruth Ann had no idea I was going to do this, but I did check with her earlier to see that she had told John that it's going, so John is watching now. Hi, John. Say hi to him.
Hi, John. I'm here.
How long have you been married?
31 years.
Oh, wow. You've got 20 to go to catch up with those guys.
I know.
Anyway.
You've got to hurry.
Okay, I want you to think of something, anything at all, but it can't be something like,
chocolate.
Like a color or something. It can't be something that's obtuse, that's abstract or something like that. Okay? So think of something. Don't tell us. Don't give any indication. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, we used to play this game where you ask questions and Ruth Ann is only allowed to answer yes or no. Have anyone done that before? Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? Okay. So is this thing that you're thinking about, is it animal, vegetable or mineral? Is it animal?
No.
Is it vegetable?
No.
Is it mineral?
Yes.
Okay. Is it all mineral or does it have some vegetable in it? Don't worry.
Yes.
Oh, you can say irrelevant. You can say irrelevant. That's the other alternative. You can say yes, no, or irrelevant. Okay. So, is it something that you own?
No.
Is it something you'd like to own?
No.
Okay. Is it something you eat?
No.
Is it? Well, I'm going to open it up. Who would like to ask some questions? Seriously, I plan to do this. Don't worry. Who would like to ask some questions? Yep.
Can you make jewelry out of it?
No. We've got to narrow it down.
Yes.
Is it bigger than a bus?
Yes.
Is it bigger than the earth?
Yes.
Is it a star? Is it the universe?
Close.
What's close to the universe? Okay. Is it heaven?
No.
That's not mineral. Is it the sun?
Is it? No.
Is it blue?
Partly.
Okay. We are now going to cut this short and say, what is it?
It's the rainbow.
Ah! It's the rainbow. Okay, then. That's fantastic. You can go and sit down now. Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, yeah, give her a clap. So, the hidden word in Ruth's mind was rainbow. And it was only by revealing that to us through speech. We could narrow it down by asking her questions, and the more she revealed, the more we got to center in on what it really was. But the hidden word was revealed, and that's exactly what this idea of word is all about. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. God is the Word. And the Word is God, as we read in this very passage. And what that means is, back when John was writing, like now, we think the Word, what is he talking about? But back then, they knew what it meant. For the Greek, they saw the Word as the reason, the etra, the reason for the universe. And it was the principle, the basic principle of the universe. And so when John said, in the beginning was the Word, the basic principle of the universe, the primary principle of reason in the universe, then the Greeks would say, yes, our philosophers talk about this. I know all about that. Yes, I agree. Now I want to hear more about this Word. And for the Jew, they saw God as he's revealed in the Bible as the one who in creation, he spoke and the worlds came into being. He spoke and humans and animals and everything else was created at his voice. And you read in Psalm 33 verse 6 exactly that same thing, that by the word of the Lord, the heavens were created and the stars and so on. God spoke. And so right down through history and the history of God's revelation, it's been his word. He revealed himself in creation, and that's an expression. That's like we did with Ruth Ann, that's narrowing it down. We learn a few things about God in creation. And then in his written word, we read the Bible, and that reveals more about God in his word. He's revealed more and more, and actually as you go through the Bible, he reveals more and more about himself. But he says now that word, that revelation of God is fully revealed in Jesus. That word became flesh, God and man in one, unique and the true meaning of the word unique, being. You know, when I was thinking about this during the week, I just had to stop and worship God. I just had to sing that song. You know, what a beautiful name. And his name above all names, he is worthy of our worship and our praise. He is an amazing, wonderful, God who became one of us. So God revealed himself as the Word. Now, we see in this passage three things about how he revealed himself and who he is. First of all, who he is in relationship to God. It says in the beginning, the Word was the Word. And the Word was there means already was. So the first thing about we learn is that in relation to God, the Word is eternal. There was a moment in time when God stepped into started time, started matter. And that was at creation. At the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We read the first verse in the Bible. Now John says, in the beginning already was the Word. That before creation, Jesus, as the eternal Word of God, the Son, was there. He's eternal. In the beginning was the Word. Next, and the Word was with God. Now, he's going to say in a minute that the Word was God or God was the Word. But now he's saying the Word was with God. And so we find that the Word, as a distinct person with his own mind and will, was with. And the word with has towards. It has the idea of being towards. Was with in relationship. The Son, if you like, the Word, was with the Father, God, and we believe in the Trinity. The word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, but the concept of the Trinity is right through the Bible. Even at the beginning when God created, he said, let us make man in our image. Male and female made he them. Us. And so the relationship of Father and Son and Holy Spirit in creation was then reflected in creating humankind as male and female in relationship. Let us make man in our image, so male and female made he them. And so he goes on to say, and he was with God in the beginning. In other words, this relationship with God didn't commence at creation. Right back at the beginning, before the beginning of time, that was that relationship of the Father and the Son. Well, the Word was with God. And then finally, the Word was God, or is God. The essential nature of God is what we're talking about here. That the Word wasn't some demigod created by God to then create the rest of the world or anything like that, but that he was actually by nature God. In fact, as I've already alluded to, the actual Greek says, and God was the Word. That can't be clearer. And, you know, some of these cults and others that get around and try and say something different, they have got no way to get around that. They try, because Peter says in his epistle that people will twist God's Word to their own destruction. They'll try and force the Bible to say something it doesn't say. But when you take the plain reading of God's Word, it states it so clearly. So in relation to God, the Word was God. Secondly, in relation to creation, it says he created all things. All things were made by him, by the Word, by Jesus, before he became a man. All things. So this one who took a little child in his arms and blessed it, and this one who called out a leper and touched him and healed him, this one who walked the road to Calvary, who was willing to die on a cross for us, is the one who created everything by the power of his Word. All things were made by him. And just in case you didn't get it, and without him, nothing was made that was made. There's nothing in this universe that exists except that it was put there by Christ in his pre-human existence as the Word. What's more, in him was life. And what that means is that he is the source of life. And of course, that's when people are looking on the planets and so on, just had one crash into Venus after many years of circling around and trying to get as much data. And there is a slight possibility because they think that there's some sort of water underneath the icy surface. There may be life there. And if there is life there, that says a lot. It's not just dead matter. Like there's life, and life. Where does that come from? The Creator. And what's more, not just life in plants and so on, but human life. He says that life was the light of men. That the life that God actually breathed into the nostrils of Adam and Eve, and they became living beings. That life came from God with a special light. The light of conscience. We're talking about forgiveness here with the children. The conscience, the awareness that something is right and something is wrong. Moral judgments that we make. That is part of the life. You don't get animal life or other kinds of life with conscience. You have them, they know what's right and wrong when they're taught, or they have instinct, but morality is different. And also the knowledge of God. There's an innate knowledge of God. And you can go, I've been there, out into the jungles of Brazil, and seen these people who are lovely people living in isolation from the rest of the world, in a little tribe living in this huge big, lots of families in this huge big thatch hut. And they worship their own gods and so on, but they have this sense of deity, of worshiping something. You don't get that with animals. There's something about the life that has been given to humans by God that has an innate knowledge of God. And it goes on to say, and the darkness is there as well. And so when people turned away from God back at the beginning and right down through history, they turn away from the truth, they turn away from that knowledge of God, and we read about it, we thought about it last Sunday, didn't we, in Romans chapter 1. And so darkness is there, and people end up believing all sorts of things, but the inner core awareness of God can't be snuffed out. And that's what this verse says. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. It's still there, even in the worst darkness. You would think that then when the source of that light came into the world, that the ones who the human race who have that light in them would then embrace and welcome him. And that's what the next verses say. He came to the world, and the world was made by him, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people who had the word of God and who were able to discern much clearer who God is, and even came to his own, they would not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave the power to become children of God. Amen. And that leads me to my third and last point, which is just this. In relation to God, who is he? He is God. And with God, eternally, the Word. In relation to creation, he is the Creator. But in relation to us, humanity, he became flesh. He became flesh. He didn't phantomize and put on a human flesh kind of body just for a few years so that he could do whatever he did. He became flesh. At the resurrection, they touched his body, his resurrection, eternal body, and it still had the nail prints in his hands and in his feet and in his side. Do you know what? Every other person in heaven will have a body that's perfect. The only one with an imperfect body will be Jesus. He will show the scars for eternity. He became. He didn't just take it on so he could save us and then go back to his state that he was in before. He is eternally now a man. He chose to do that. Would you do that? If you were God, if you could just wipe out the whole human race, the whole thing and start again, you could do whatever you liked. And no one would be able to say, you shouldn't do that. I'm God. If you're God, you can do whatever you like. But he loved us and saw us in our pathway that leads to separation from him forever and ever. And he said, I'm willing to take upon myself humanity as God, eternally invisible spirit. He could never die. But as human, he could. And the wages of sin is death, and he took that death. And the only way to take that death is to become one of us, to be truly human, with blood, flesh and blood and bone. And God invaded history in order that he might take upon himself our sin, our wrongdoing, that we might be forgiven, as we heard earlier, that we may be forgiven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At the end of John's Gospel, we have these words. When John had finished writing, he then gives the reason why he wrote. And I want you to look at it and think about it and hear it now. He said, Jesus, it says, John wrote, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life. When you put your faith, your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive life, eternal life. God so loved the world. Those that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It requires faith. It requires coming to Jesus and saying, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I know I need to get right with God. I trust you to do what I cannot do myself. I trust you to forgive my sins because you died for them. You died in my place and rose again. I trust you to be my Savior. I repent. I turn from my sin, my lifestyle. I turn to you, to follow you, Lord Jesus. And when a person puts their faith in Jesus, you receive life. And if you haven't done that, I don't care if you've been a member of this church since dot. It's irrelevant. Church membership doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you right with God is a personal commitment of faith in Jesus. And if you haven't done that, you need to do it. Because if you died tonight without Christ, you would die tonight without life, eternal life. We're going to sing a final praise song. And during that praise song, I want you to respond to Jesus. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I need to get right with you if you do. And reach out to him in faith and pray to him. Trust in him. And if you do that, I'd love you to speak to me afterwards or call me during the week. I'd love to help you as a beginning of your journey of faith. God bless you. Thank you.